This episode of the Poundcast. By the way, welcome to the Poundcast, Brent.
Thank you, but you know, carry on. Welcome to you as well.
Well, what I was saying is this episode is brought to you by LouisvilleVeganFoods.com.
Yes, it sure is.
And I'm logged in now, and they have this really cool Unsolved Mysteries t-shirt in the Unsolved Mysteries font. But, you know, of course they have all the Louisville Vegan Jerky, which is my favorite, which I'll be snacking on at my picnic this weekend. They got this smoked black pepper. They got the smoky Carolina. They got the perfect pepperoni, maple bacon at LouisvilleVeganFoods.com. And all you got to do to get 20% off is use the code word Poundcast. And you're going to get 20% off of all your favorite flavors, including Man Man Sweet Chili Teriyaki, which is now available. Pretty cool, huh, Brent?
It's the coolest. It truly is. And, you know, you just go to LouisvilleVeganFoods.com and you can get the Louisville Vegan Jerky. You can get toppins or toppings. As I say toppings, but other people say toppins. Mm-hmm. And they also have chocolate. And you can also get it at stores such as Sprouts and, you know, Vol Foods and other places. And, you know, it's handbagged in the United States and it's has a shelf life of 9 months. So,
yeah. And the code word Poundcast. Yeah. As you know, they're our sponsor. They're our proud sponsor. And that's the only sponsor we ever want because that's the only company we like. And that's the only company
it's the only company that ever was. It's the only company that ever was.
That ever was, that ever needs to be. Now, today we have
what else is going on? We have a great show.
We have a great show today, folks. We got Tyler Kornack. He is a film director
and writer and writer and actor. Yeah, an actor, yeah.
Yeah, and he wrote, acted, and directed, and composer. Yeah, and composer, it turns out. He kind of did it all on this film that Johnny Pemberton recommended to us called Butt Boy, which is now streaming on Amazon. And Brent and I checked it out, and you know what? It's a fun ride. I recommend it.
I don't want to say anything about it.
We're not going to even...
Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
We don't do any spoilers except in the After Dark section. We do some spoilers. And the only way to access the After Dark is by supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/poundcast. And by the way, it is really cheap to subscribe to our Patreon right now. And it's been cheap for years now, way cheaper than any podcast that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And the prices are going to go up to $5 in May 5th.
The minimum price, that is going to be $5.
The minimum price is
that's just making it so that it's on par with basically every other podcast.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, we're crazy for having it be this cheap. So you might want to just sign up now before the prices go up, because this is a warning. Prices are going up to $5. May 5th, Cinco de Mayo is going to be Cinco de Poundo.
So meaning if you want to be, you want to get in at the $2 price, you get in, if you get in now, you get to keep that price in for however long you want, you know?
Yeah.
So in the same way that some people who got in when it was $1,
it used to be $1.
But people are still in at it at $1.
We love great prices and we love offering great prices, which we've done. But now we're going to go up to only $5, which is still a great deal because every week you get a bonus After Dark Poundcast episode. So you'll be supporting us. That's what keeps the show going.
Yeah.
It is a user, listener, viewer supported show. That's what we do here. And yeah, you can watch it on youtube.com/thepoundcast, or you can listen to it on any podcast app that you're probably listening to it on right now. You get it. But it's a sponsored. This show is funded by you.
Viewers like you. Listeners like you.
And listeners like you.
And, you know, so that's what's happening on 5-5-5.
We're going to 5.
We're going to 5.
On 5-5, we're going to 5. And, so heads up.
Straight like that.
Straight like that.
But, you know, like I said, get in now too, then there you go. Whatever.
Yes, I mean.
Or whatever.
Or, just,
whatever
or you know what? Do. Sign up now and just start off with five. And you'll have access to all the old stuff too.
Oh, you get all the old stuff.
Yeah, you just, you're in the door.
And you also can see video of the After Dark.
Yeah, I would also like to plug a couple other things here. I have a Patreon, patreon.com/DougPound. That's cheap. That price ain't going anywhere. I posted a little behind the scenes of me playing with my synths the other day. And I posted a little sneak peek of a video that's not out yet. Stuff like that. But enough about that. This is about the poundcast.com/thepoundcast.com. Just kidding. That's not a website.
I got one plug.
I got one plug. You're like, I got a plug.
I got one plug.
What's your like plug?
I got.
What's your plug, Brent? What's your plug?
I got a new podcast coming out. Okay.
What?
It's a limited series podcast. Okay. So there's, it's done by seasons and there's 12 episodes in a season. Okay. And it's coming out. Well, it came out actually. If you're listening to this on Patreon, by the way, gets episodes 2 days early, but if you're listening to this on Patreon, it came out yesterday. And if you're listening, then it came out earlier this week, April 20th, which was yesterday or a few days ago, the Gangster Party Line podcast.
What? Okay?
Basically, people call in, random people, and they talk to me and some other comedians and talk crap. And then at the end of the episode, the best caller goes up against the mystery gangster, whoever that is. And yeah, it's a lot of fun and it's super, and I'll say it probably isn't for everybody because it's probably going to be offensive to some people, but you know, it's really all in good fun. And it's just a fun little thing, talk crap and say some offensive stuff and use some offensive words and so on and so forth. And anyway, that is available on the iHeartRadio app or on Apple Music or wherever you get podcasts.
Brent, you're a true freak. Can't believe you did that. That's wild. Wow.
It's a limited series podcast.
How long is each episode?
Half an hour to 50 minutes usually.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
April 20th is when April 20th. I mean, I don't know. Whenever you're listening to this, it came out April 20th. And I think it's going to be released once every week for 12 weeks. Yeah.
All right. Another thing with our Patreon is I put the stems to the theme song on the Patreon, and our Patreon subscribers have been remixing, as you know. I every week I say this as if this is the first time anyone's ever heard it. I got to start talking to the regular pimples because maybe 1% of the listener is someone new. But anyway, that's the deal. We have a remix of the theme song from one of our Patreon subscribers. This week it is from who, Brent?
Tim. What is this? That's it. Tim Held. I thought, were you like doing this pencil thing? You were kind of making it seem like you're holding a pencil. Like it's held. The pencil is held.
Uh huh. Oh, I held the pencil.
Yeah, you held the pencil. Yeah.
Not that clever sometimes. All right, let's get on with the Tim Held remix of the Poundcast theme. And then we'll be talking to Tyler Kornack, director, star, and composer of Butt Boy. Roll the clip. Ta 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 Okay, welcome to the Poundcast, Tyler Kornack.
Hello, thank you for having me. Big fan of you guys.
Thank you.
I consider myself.
We're fans of Butt Boy. We watched it because Johnny Pemberton was on our show, and we were just talking about movies, and he said he saw Butt Boy, and he's like, "You got to check it out. It was really funny."
Thank you, man.
So we checked it out.
Yeah, I somebody that was listening to this podcast sent told me that Johnny mentioned it, and he was writing about it on Twitter too. So I figured I put the two and two together and figured that's how you guys heard about it. But I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Cool.
Hopefully it wasn't too much.
No, I got questions though.
Oh, we got a lot of questions. Yeah, we have.
Hit me.
All right.
I mean, do we just launch
right
into it?
We just get into it. We just get.
Yeah. See,
the thing is, we've never met, and so we'll start off from the top here. I know we had messaged a while back on Instagram, and then I started following Tiny Cinema, which is your, I guess your production company or your
sketch group, right?
What is Tiny Cinema? Take us back.
You know, I don't even know how to answer that, to be completely honest. I guess you could call it a sketch group.
You do 1 minute videos, right?
Yeah, we do 1 minute videos. Like the whole thing is it's a bunch of guys I went to film school with, guys and gals, I guess now. And the idea behind it was just to kind of make 1 minute sketches or videos a little more cinematic than what you would see on, you know, social media, and just kind of get an audience reaction from it and see where it went. And that was years ago now. So we've been at it for quite a bit, and it's been always with the goal to end up making movies ultimately, but it was kind of just like a modern way of making short films, you know, where you could get people to react to it and get opinions online. And
it seems from after I watched Butt Boy, I kind of delved into your other videos.
Oh boy.
Other videos, but your videos, you know, and it seems to me like Butt Boy started as one of these 1 minute sort of pieces, and that you kind of expanded on it from this 1 minute piece, right?
Yeah. It was like, they're very point and shoot. Like we'll go out with an idea and just set up any camera we can get our hands on and just sort of shoot it. And yeah, Butt Boy ended up getting some traction online, and then it was almost just a joke that we would how far can we take this if we were to turn it into this longer thing. And then over time it was like, should we just fucking do this? And that's kind of how it came to be. So the minute version one isn't nearly the same. I guess it kind of has the same tone, but it's just a silly little, almost could have been shot on an iPhone sort of thing.
But it has the same it kind of is the same premise. I mean, it starts off the sort of the same premise, same, kind of.
Yeah, it's like the same tone, I guess.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we discovered with it. It was like, oh, there's kind of a tone that we could take somewhere kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
But it's all ridiculous.
Well, that tone of like just something being, I mean, for people who haven't seen it, I mean, it's just a very, you know, ridiculous sort of movie, but it's played very straight. And that's what I really liked about it, is how straight it was played. And just as absurd as it was. Yeah.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah. If that was the whole thing, to see if we never once, I mean, besides the title, of course, never once wink at the camera, just see how dry we could play it throughout. And, you know, that had its challenges. Like we shot a bunch of stuff on it that was a little bit too silly and a little bit too funny that we had to cut out of the movie.
Mm.
Just cause it was sort of,
you know, oh, I'm really curious about what got cut and what was too silly.
There was like six scenes, man. It was a lot of stuff.
Is it possible to talk about that stuff without spoiling?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, but without spoiling the story for people who haven't seen, or do you want to say that?
Oh no, I don't care at all, man. I'm easy. No, I mean, we shot, like, there was a scene with the detective, the cliche, like De Niro sort of detective. He had a whole side plot with this large prostitute at one point that it sort of turned into a blaxploitation film in the middle of the movie, and we were just, even while we were shooting it, we're like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to be good. And there was a number of things. There was a whole other side plot with the chief detective. There was a fight scene, but it just got a little bit too silly for the entire thing. So we were like, let's cut that out. Let's kill that. And I'm trying to think of what else there was. There was a bunch of them, though.
Well, I have a quick little question about speaking of the detective. This is kind of maybe a silly question, but something I couldn't help but notice was how oily his beard looked.
Oh, dear.
And was that an intentional thing, or
that's something that we noticed while we were shooting, and we almost gave that goatee a name of its own, man. It was a character. It was wild. It was him. He brought his own product.
Okay, so he put oil in the beard and was like, he kind of thought, oh, I'm gonna oil a beard up, just, you know.
Yeah, there's actual beard oil out there that just shimmers it, and he wasn't shy with it.
And okay, that's funny. So it was intentional on his end, and it was like a character choice kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah,
there's the one scene in particular, it's pretty wildly distracting. Like we got to screen it in a theater at Fantastic Fest when we premiered it, and it was pretty gnarly to see it on a big screen.
I think it was the diner scene, I think, where I really kind of thought, yeah, that's really oily. You know?
He's always soaked. He's always soaked. Even in real life, he's pretty wet all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just a wet.
Oh, dude. So that's not even a character choice. That's just a life choice for him.
The goatee was a character choice, but the life choice is more so his hair. There's always a good level of grease in there, and he's a greasy dude.
So how did you make a feature? I mean, how did you go from the 1 minute little short? Yeah, basically, how did you make a feature?
Well, yeah. It's what.
How did you get? How did you get the money too? I guess.
Yeah. the money. It was crazy because we actually had. I didn't expect this to be my first feature. I was trying to get a little bit more straight up, just a comedy made, a silly comedy, and then this sort of just came to be where it was like, oh, we could do this for very cheap and pull it off, and like we wrote the script very much with the budget in mind. It was like every location that's in the film, we knew we were going to be able to shoot there. So we were like, let's write the scene there at that diner, because we know it's X amount of dollars. It was as guerrilla as it gets. Like half the stuff you see, all the outside stuff, we had no permits for, like him running next to the train, all that stuff is all guerrilla.
Did you wait for the, were you thinking, oh, it would be a cool shot if we wait for the train and then we get this shot, you know?
Yeah, it was, the whole movie was like that. Yeah, the train schedule was like every 20 minutes, we had to wait. The cops showed up that day and kicked us out, so we had to come back another day. It's like as guerrilla as it gets.
How many times did you shoot that, by the way?
What's that?
Where did you shoot the movie, I guess, and the train scene and stuff?
Where was that? In that was over in Pasadena. It was it's a weird little warehouse, or not warehouse, but a power plant over there that I've always driven by, and I was like, oh, it looks really cool at night. And yeah, the cops were actually pretty cool, but I guess somebody called the police on us, and we had a whole bunch of that throughout the entire thing. The laser tag was the same thing. It was like, at the time we had way more Instagram followers, so we plugged this place called Jungle Zone for a week.
Jungle Zone in, like, is that in Glendale?
It's in Glendale, yeah. They were great, man.
That's why I used to pass by that place all the time.
Yeah, it's a wild place.
Did they give it to you for free if you promoted them?
It wasn't free, but it was significantly less of like what they wanted to charge us. So
got it.
Like every 5 minutes I was putting up a come play laser tag down at the Jungle Zone. All that shit throughout the entire film, it was a bunch of that stuff with a few exceptions. The office was the same thing. It was some sketchy, we had to pay under the table with this guy, and he was a character too. And yeah. So it was just gorilla as it gets. But we got so as far as the finance go, we actually had, it was funny because we had a few people on a list of our, just sort of people we've met over the years through our Instagram and stuff like that. And we actually got an offer from somebody else before we got the investment that we got for the movie. So we got somebody that was going to double the price, but they wanted to make it a very silly comedy that was like out there and wacky and wanted to change all this stuff. So once we got that offer, which I was blown away that we even got anybody to even get past the title page of the script.
How did you even get to that point? Like,
right.
Did you send it to, who did you know? How did you get their eyes on it?
How did you pitch it around?
A friend that made another movie of our, that produced another low budget film. Cause we knew it was going to be low budget. It was a guy with oil money. I'm not going to like say that. I won't say the name, but,
Beard oil.
It was, some guy. And we met up in the Hollywood Hills, and it was like as cliche of a situation as it gets. And he was like, I'll do it for, you know, whatever.
Hold on a second. How did you even connect with him in the first place?
My buddy produced a film he invested in.
Okay.
Years earlier, and he kind of was like a handout. He'll give money out for certain things, but he ended up not doing it because he was going to give us double what we wanted, but he changed so much. So what ended up happening is I had a friend. It was literally a friend who was like, "I'll do it for half that if you think you can pull it off," and that was it. And that's how we did it. So it was $150,000 the whole thing.
Oh. Wow, thank you for sharing that. And so the oil investor wanted to do 300. He was going to do 300,000.
Yeah, 300, 250, which was
wow. Great. I mean, he wanted to make it into like super fast or
yeah, exactly. Just a fart movie, you know.
Uh huh.
I mean, that's really impressive, actually. $150,000. Yeah.
That's impressive that you stuck to your guns and didn't change it.
Well, you know what? It wasn't even really a temptation because it's such a ridiculous project to make, period. And it's like to put 2 years into your life of something that's that ridiculous anyways, it's like you're not going to – we couldn't change – the whole point of it was making it a dry joke, you know? So – and he didn't really understand that, but it was interesting.
How long was the shoot? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you say it's 2 years. So is that from like writing until completion?
Yeah, just about, you know, it was maybe a little bit more than that. It took a year to edit because of like, we didn't have the cost to do it. It was like very sporadic. We had to sit down and it was a 35-day shoot. We wrote it probably in like a couple months. It wasn't that long of a writing process. You can probably tell, but from watching it, but yeah, it was very fast shooting it. And then, it was like a year, and then we would discover that we needed pickups here and there. We would go out and shoot those. And,
Brent, what did you have? Oh, how long did
it? I was going to ask, you answered shoot? It. Yeah,
35.
Yeah.
It's around 35 plus a little
And did
bit
you
more.
Shoot those all back to back, or did you do it on weekends, or, you know?
It was all back to back. I mean, we found the budget went towards just paying everybody what we could, you know. That's majority of, like, we had access to the camera, we had access to a lot of the equipment and stuff like that. We were fortunate enough to have all that, so it was really just paying anybody that's willing to work on it to be there, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was nuts.
I kind of had some questions. I don't know. I had some kind of story questions. Maybe I'll save them for later, though, because I don't want to. I don't want to really spoil the story for anybody, you know. So at least, you know, maybe like later we can get into that.
The only thing I care about is the end. Just don't. You can say anything about it.
No, but I actually really liked not knowing anything about it, and I think Johnny might have said to not look anything up or anything, and I'm glad I didn't, you know. I'm glad that it sort of unfolded and I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, I kind of knew a little bit of what to expect, but not really. And I didn't really know where the story was going to go. And I liked that I didn't know. And so I don't want to, I think it's a better experience for people maybe to not.
I think it is. That's from what I've heard. I think that's the way to go into it. Cause you really don't know, especially with the title, like the title, we were trying to trick people a little bit. So it's like, you know, it sounds a lot sillier than it is, and just to get a reaction. And the title was a weird thing because it's just a weird fucking movie title. But
it's a good title.
You like the title? Okay, good.
No, I think the title's great because it's very. There's a lot of things it could sound like. It sounds like it could be like some kind of silly comedy, but it also sounds like it could be some kind of porno or something. And it sounds like it just. I don't know. It just. It is. it's an intriguing title. And when you say, oh, I saw this movie Butt Boy, it's just, I don't know. I think it just raises a lot of questions for people who don't know what you're talking about in a cool way. You know?
Yeah. It's a weird thing. Cause I think some people get turned off by the title. Like they're not like, they're like, I'm not going to watch a movie called Butt Boy. And then there's other people that are sort of on your side, but where it was great was the festival circuit. The title did a lot for us there. It was because it had that, what the fuck is this sort of thing. And it still has that, I think. And, it was very valuable in that sense, which is what we wanted. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's a great title because it actually, when I heard Johnny say it, I'm like, what? There's a movie called Butt Boy?
Right,
like,
right.
I'm going to watch that. Like, right. Just by title alone, that's something that I want to see. I mean, I think there's a lot of movies out here that just have the dumbest titles.
Well,
you know, they're like, I'm looking at movies right now. There's Chaos Walking. No. Boss Level.
I mean,
boss
I bet
level.
You
what's
you
boss could, level? What is boss level?
It looks like I'll click on it here. It looks like some kind of
that's not the one with
it's an action movie.
With Ryan Reynolds. Is Ryan Reynolds in that?
I think so. Wait, let's see here. Where'd it go? Come on.
Because if it's what I'm thinking it is, that has a pretty cool premise. Sounded cool.
Enough. I'm just going by titles alone here.
You know, you can probably say any two words or any two words, and it's probably a title that exists already in a for a movie.
Yeah, know? That was the other thing. There was
I mean,
no
Boss Level,
voice.
That maybe that's an okay title.
Like, there might even be a movie called Beard Oil.
Right.
You know? That's I mean, you sequel. Name it, you know? There's probably, you name any, you say anything, it's probably, there's probably a title for it somewhere.
Yeah, it's like coming up with a band name, too. It's tough now.
Right. It's just, there's been so many band names and so many movie titles that it's impossible to create something. In fact, who knows? There probably was a Butt Boy at one point.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe. I looked it up once. There's some
oh, really?
Sort of.
Nothing?
No. I think we were the first, you know?
Really? There wasn't even some sort of...
I'm sure there's a porn or something.
That's why I'm wondering if there was a porno named Butt Boy. Yeah.
Google's weird with it. And the film company that put it out, they had a hashtag that led you straight to some fun stuff.
So did you get it... a distribution... I mean, how did you... Okay, so what happened? You went to festivals and then a company bought it?
Yeah. Yeah. We went to Fantastic Fest and that festival was awesome for us. It was
what is Fantastic Fest?
It's a festival in Austin and it sort of deals with all genre films. So, it's all over the place. A bunch of great movies have premiered out of there. And it's like, that was the first big thing that happened where it was like, oh shit, this is going to be, it's going to be wild for us.
And they kind of specialize in sort of, I don't know, more offbeat kind of stuff or
yeah, sort of. I mean, it's all over the place. Like they do a bunch of different stuff, but yeah, majority it's like midnight movie, weird sort of stuff. And yeah, we did really well there and it was like such a great experience all around. And yeah, from there distribution was there and they made the deal, I guess. So
oh, that's cool. So did you and so Does it work? Is it a thing where they just buy the movie and that's it? Or do they make a deal where they will distribute this and depending on what comes in, we'll get a certain percentage or something
it's
like
a
that?
It's a little bit of both. Like they bought the movie and then we got a very small percentage of what was on the back end of it, which isn't going to be a lot. You know, we made it to be made it to just stream on your computer almost, you know?
Yeah.
It was really wild. Like we got like a small, it's a lot of fun in a theater with people. That's where it really shines the most, I think.
Right.
And we actually got a small little theater deal out of it of the guy, Tim League, who runs Fantastic Fest. He runs all the Alamo draft houses.
Yeah.
And, there was a short period of time where Butt Boy was going to be screening around the country for like 2 weeks, which would have been wild. But
it didn't happen because of the pandemic.
Yeah. Didn't happen.
And so you didn't really get the theatrical release because of that, or
no? Yeah, it all got cut off. So
I have some ideas for kind of like games we can kind of play.
Let's do it.
Since I think Butt Boy is a great title that'll get heads turning at the marquee, you know, and that'll get me being like, I want to like if I'm scrolling through Netflix or Amazon, I'll be like, I'll click on it, be like, what's this all about?
You know? It's definitely an intriguing title. I mean, Butt Boy, what is this?
You know? You guys are helping my ego here. I'm still insecure about it.
Are you
about the title?
Yeah, I still am.
Don't worry. No.
It's a great title.
Are you working on your next film or what are you working on now?
Yeah, so right now the company that put out Butt Boy, we shopped around. We actually went to Adult Swim for something a while back, just to do like a little sort of like a TV version of sort of what we do, little mini Butt Boys, essentially. That's what it is. It's all these little stories tied into the same world. It's like our version of the Twilight Zone. And then that kind of ended up falling through for a number of reasons. We didn't get it done in time, and it was a bunch of stuff. So the company that put out Butt Boy was like, if you turn this into sort of a anthology film, like the old 90s Twilight Zone movie, we'll back it. And then so we've been shooting that all year on and off because of the pandemic again. But we're editing that right now. So it's going to be like the Tiny Cinema sort of film. And it's like six different chapters of these weird little stories that sort of tie together, sort of don't. And it's pretty wild.
That's cool, because I think I miss those anthology kind of movies. Like, you don't really see those anymore.
Yeah, me too, man.
Once in a while, like, I think, what did Tarantino do one with?
Four Rooms.
Four Rooms?
You get ones like that once in a while, but fun.
Yeah, there's some horror ones that are coming out right now. Like, I think it is about to become somewhat of a trend again. But we sort of tried to put a spin on it that's sort of making fun of the anthology films. Like, it's hard to explain, but it's a little bit ridiculous take on it all. So
VHS came out not that long ago. I think those were some anthology films.
Were they? I didn't know that was.
I don't know. They were like found footage anthology. It was a found footage anthology thing, I think.
Do you have a title? Do you have a title for this new anthology?
Right now, we're just calling it Tiny Cinema right now. We're trying to expand the brand a little bit, but we don't know what it's going to be yet. You know.
Well, we can help you write a title for it
if you want
another eye-popping title.
Yeah, are you allowed to say what the stories are about?
Yeah, I'll tell you all of them. Can I actually pee real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
But I have to pee really bad.
Oh, go ahead. I'm going to run something by Brent real quick.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought of a couple games we can like. We could do the alphabet game and come up with a title for his film. Or another thing, I could go through these new movies that are out.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea if we know what the movie's about and then we have to come up with one from A to Z, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's not like so arbitrary. It's like we're trying to make, you know, it work for his movie.
Yeah, but it's got to have that
it's got to have that butt
what's
boy.
What's that like wow factor? The butt boy.
It's got to have that butt boy it factor, and then
it's got to
then also relate to the what he describes as the movie is about. What were we gonna say though?
Well, I could name some. Another thing is, I could maybe we start with this. Well, I'll name some new movies that are out. Unless you're up on your movies and you know every movie that's coming out,
mm-hmm.
And you could try to guess what it's about.
Okay,
try to guess the genre, what it's rated.
Hey, these both sound fun.
All right. We can do the first one first.
I feel way better.
Oh, good.
Let's play a game.
Okay, a couple games.
Dude, you the got first the tie one, the, and everything? You're like well, a game show host.
I was wearing this earlier because I was on the other podcast I do, and Dionne Warwick was on.
Really?
Tim was like, we should dress up for Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick was on?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wait, how and why and what?
You'll just have to watch Office Hours from.
I mean, whose idea? Like
April 15th, 2021.
That is so strange.
How did that happen?
Basically, what happened was on Twitter. You know how Tim is in a few memes, you know, from Tim and Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
She tweeted a response to something, and she used his meme of him. You know, like I don't know if it was the free real estate or it was, I think it was maybe this guy going like that or something. And then somebody brought it to Tim's attention. Dionne Warwick
the Tim
tweeted
DM-er.
Your meme. And then he responded. And then she said, well, we're best friends. So she has like a kind of a good sense of humor. She just kept saying that she's best friends with Tim. And then she's like, my best friend wouldn't invite me on his podcast. So then that's how that happened.
Wow. That is so interesting. That is such a completely different world. You know, I feel like then
that's wild.
That world, you know,
the modern era.
Yeah, I know. It's bringing everyone together. But look, one idea I had for a game here is I'll go through some of the titles of the new movies that are out.
Okay.
And unless you're a total movie head and you know what all the new releases are.
I probably won't.
You can try to guess what it's about, what is rated.
Okay.
And maybe what genre it is. Or you can make up your own, make it better than.
And by the way, after we play this game, can you remind me? I have questions for Tyler also about him. So just remind me that after.
Why don't you just ask him now?
Well, because this might lead down a whole discussion, and we're ready. We're kind of primed and ready for this.
I'm ready to play.
All right, Deadly Illusions, Brent. What do you think that's about? What's it rated? What genre?
Probably, I think it's rated R. And I would think it's about these. It's basically these people who take some kind of drug and it makes them see things and it kills them. They see these kind of demons or something like that, and they're not even real, but they think it's real because their mind thinks it's real and they die.
Okay. That's a horror. Is that the genre?
Oh, what's your genre? Horror?
Yeah, horror. Psychedelic horror.
Okay, psychedelic horror.
Horror. Psychedelic horror. Oh, that's on a psychedelic horror. Here movie. Here. Psychedelic here.
All right.
Sounds
Tyler,
like psychedelic fur.
Do you have a guess?
I'm gonna go with a thriller horror about a bunch of magicians.
I was thinking magicians too.
That are assassins.
Oh yeah.
And it's a mind game between all of them.
Oh, they're all like against each other, kind of, huh?
It's a deadly illusion.
I was
somebody somebody takes a trick too far, and it's a whodunit.
And what's it rated?
R.
Okay, well, you're both right.
That's a hard R.
Wait,
you're
hold
both
on.
Right. It's rated R.
Just to add to his real quick, they do the sawing in half trick, and it actually does saw the person in half.
Right.
That's where it starts.
I mean,
and then,
maybe it starts with the guy's pulling a rabbit out of the hat, but then the rabbit like rips his hand off and he's like, ah.
Have you guys seen the video? There's a guy who cuts a woman in half and it actually happens.
I think I saw that, but I think I was think it was fake or something though. No,
I think it is real.
Oh, I think I might have
wait,
seen
he's,
that.
Wait, he does straight up, he cuts her in half?
Yeah, he like fucks up and kills her during this like shitty magic show.
Oh my god, that's Deadly Illusions right there.
Yeah.
So this is it's a documentary based on a magic trick that went wrong where a man caught a woman in half. I'm just kidding.
Oh my god. Oh, that's so funny. I was really you got me. I was buying that hardcore.
Okay,
that.
So it's rated R.
Delivery.
Rated R, you both get a point. It's a drama thriller, so I'll give Tyler the point for that. After a best-selling novelist suffers from writer's block, hires a new nanny for her children, the line between fiction and reality starts to blur.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'm kind of right a little bit. Like hallucinating. You know, I don't know.
I don't know.
You can give that to him.
No, I'm not. I'm I didn't get that in score.
Okay, wrong turn. You know what?
Turn.
I'll go because I didn't even look.
Yeah.
I'm kind of cheating because I get to see the thumbnail. Wrong Turn. Well,
I already know. I get it.
I someone is an Uber driver, and they get a weird location up in the hills, you know, somewhere they've never driven before, a neighborhood they didn't even know existed. So they're headed up there, and the GPS is going turn left, turn here left. And then the voice starts getting lower and lower. Turn left over there. Turn left. Take a fucking right. Take a fucking left. And they're getting. It's kind of their first day on the job. They get scared. They take a wrong turn, and their car conks out. Then they're surrounded by 8-year-old children, boys. The boys take them out. And turn. It's kind of a cross between Children of the Corn and Wicker Man. Horror. Psychedelic horror. All right, that's my guess. Now
you can go next.
You want to go first, Tyler?
Yeah, I'll go. I don't know if I have anything here. Maybe okay,
Brent, you go first.
Yeah, Brent, you go.
All right. So basically, it's kind of like it's not horror, it's not supernatural or anything, but basically, this guy he's a bike messenger type of guy, something like that, you know, and he's trying to deliver this package, and he goes into this neighborhood that is a rough neighborhood, and he just, I don't know, he can't read the writing on the thing or whatever, and he makes a turn, you know, he turns the wrong street or whatever they're supposed to go to. And he ends up, I mean, it's a little like your plot, but it's not supernatural though. But there's gangsters, and he gets mixed up with gangsters and stuff. And, you know, and at one point one of the gangsters says to him, "Boy, you took a wrong turn." And it just, you know, kind of, it's an adventure, you know? I mean, it's an action kind of gangster kind of movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In LA, set in LA.
Yeah. Set in LA. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, also, it's rated R.
I don't know how else to not put a car taking a wrong turn.
Well, it doesn't have to be a car. I mean, you know, it could be
a moped,
or it could be somebody's. It could be about somebody who, like, they look too far over to the right because they heard a loud noise. They look over, and then it hurt. It kind of like they messed their neck up because they turned the wrong way or something like that.
Well, they could. They could not be in a car when they make their turn. Hint, hint.
maybe it's just somebody's turn to do something.
Oh, it's a change in their life,
right? And they do it wrong, and it for all the work. I don't know. I have nothing here.
They become a gangster. It's like somebody who's Brent's, like
it's like the same movie kind of just from a different perspective.
Right. It's like about a guy he's basically in college. He's doing well, but then he needs money or something like that. And he realizes he needs money to pay his tuition, and he starts to becomes a gangster.
In East LA.
And then at one point, you know, one of the gangsters says to him, "Oh, you used to go to Harvard or whatever, you know." But it's back in Los Angeles. He's like, "Or you know, oh, used to be a college kid. Boy, you took a wrong turn."
There it is. Can that be mine?
Yeah. Because it doesn't matter. You both are. We're all wrong. It's friends hiking the Appalachian Trail are confronted by the Foundation. A community of people who have lived in the mountains for hundreds of years.
Doug, you're pretty close.
So I'm kind of right. It sounds like a Wicker Man kind of thing.
It does. But wait, you saw the picture, though. Did the picture show some sort of...
No, the picture was just like a black with like a face. It was just like, you couldn't really see. It's just like this abstract...
Wow, you kind of got it, man.
Yeah.
You kind of got... Actually, I would say you really did get it, essentially.
I'll take the point.
That's crazy.
But if we wanted to give it more of a better title, like Butt Boy, what should we call it?
Probably like Wrong Butt.
Probably not, like, you know, okay, let's say it's about some group of people that have lived in the mountains for hundreds of years. It's, you know, maybe it's kind of like this deliverance. Maybe it's kind of like, just call it like mountain freaks or something, you know? See? It made you laugh. Do you guys want to go see Wrong Turn or Mountain Freaks? Mountain Freaks sounds more fun, right? Let's go see that.
Mountain Freaks.
Mountain Freaks.
That's good. That's good. That's quite good.
Yeah. All right. So that's another part of the game. We punch up the title.
Well, then hold on. Let's punch up the other one. What was the other movie called?
Dangerous Illusions.
Dangerous Illusions.
Deadly Illusions. Yeah.
What was it about again, actually?
Best-selling novelist suffer from writer's block, hires a new nanny, and then things get fucked up.
This sounds, by the way, really similar to this show that I watched a little bit on Apple TV or whatever called the
Rock the Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
No, it was something called like it starts with an R. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was maybe called the it's not The Revenant, but it's something like that. You know?
How about this? What if it's called Ass Nanny?
That's good.
All right.
Freaky
the nanny.
How about Trippy Nanny?
Trippy Nanny, dude. There we go. You want to see Deadly Illusions or Trippy Nanny? Trippy Nanny is the title. We should just form a consulting company, Brent, to punch up films. You know, the Trippy Nanny at the film fest, just like Bub Boy, people are going to be flocking to that one.
Right, Trippy Nanny. But what is that movie called? It was kind of funny because it was a kind of ridiculous show. The Servant?
Brent,
maybe it's called Servant? Anyway.
Right, it doesn't matter, and I don't care.
Right, okay, carry on.
All right, we don't have to play this game forever, but, you know, it's kind of fun.
Well, we'll do one more. Do one more.
All right, I'll give you guys some choices here. Strip Down, Rise Up. Fear of Rain.
Is that a real one?
Fear of Rain. Yeah. Or Red.
Well, there's been a movie called Red before.
There has?
Bruce Willis one, right?
No, that's Color of Red, I think.
But there was an action film called Red in the 2000s, I think.
Well, there was the movie The Three Colors Red. There was, you know, blue, white, and red, you know?
Yeah, I love that movie. I thought there was one just called Red.
Yeah, I guess the full title is Three Colors Red, but it is just Red though. Also, but well, there's a movie called Reds.
Yeah, Reds. There's Reds.
Hold on.
I mean, there's a lot of movies out here. Okay, there's one called Happily. There's one called Below Zero.
By the way, Strip Down, Rise Up. I can tell you what that's about.
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to figure this one out.
Well, it's obviously about a guy. He goes to a strip club, and it's like a Chippendales type place. And basically, you know, the guy comes out and he takes his clothes off, he strips down, and then the guy gets a boner that rises up. Simple as that. And once he achieves maximum hardness, he says, "Finally!" And then that's the end. You know. that's the goal of the movie, is like get the maximum hardness, you know. Uh-huh. And then the whole time the guy's stripping and he's saying, "Okay, is it at maximum hardness yet?" And he's like, "No, not yet. I know I can get harder than this." And it's still kind of a little bit soft, and they keep trying. He keeps stripping, you know, and keeps taking off more and more clothing and showing more and more body. He uses beard oil at one point. And then it finally, he gets maximum hardness. He's like, "I'm there. I'm finally fully hard." And then the movie just ends right there. You know how old movies used to end? It's kind of a return to that, where right after the climax, it's you know, the end. Yep. Strip down, rise up.
Okay. Well, I think Tyler can get this if he...
Sorry, my audio...
No, I'm not saying you're wrong, Brent. I'm just saying maybe Tyler can get this one.
Strip down, rise up. I was going to go Coming of Age, about a young boy who lives in the projects, and in order to rise up out of it, he has to strip. Brent's was better. Mine sucks. Mine's a little too real.
I like where that's going, though.
No, but you're right. It could be about a group of people even that have to, they rise up, is power to rise up in power with little means.
Status, you know, in the world.
Status.
But then ultimately when he does it, mine's like a Sundance movie. Ultimately when he gets out and does it, it's not what he thought it was. And
let me back up here. Where's this kid?
I just said the projects.
Okay, so there's a kid in the projects, right? He's being pressured into joining a gang, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a Chippendales gang.
No. It's just a gang. So he decides one day he has nothing left, okay? He's been beaten up. He doesn't want to join the gang.
His mom's an addict.
Yeah, his mom's an addict. His father is nowhere to be found. He grew up with a tough life. They're pointing a gun at him. They're like, you join the gang or we'll shoot you right now. And neither one of those choices he likes. So he just starts stripping down.
Oh, that's perfect.
And he's naked. He's a naked boy and he's walking around. And then the other kids who don't like this lifestyle, so it's just like this new gang of naked boys. Peaceful naked boys.
Peaceful.
And that's how they rise up as a culture, is in being completely naked. It gives them sort of power to rise up, and then they all reach maximum hardness emotionally.
Yep.
Right.
That's it.
Unfortunately, that's not it. What we really have here is a documentary. A cinema verite style film follows women of all ages and ethnic backgrounds who heal trauma and body image shame through sensual dance and daring pole dance artistry.
Oh, I was kind of right because, by the way, when I said Chippendales, I said strip club, but I thought, let's just make this a little more fun and make it Chippendales style, you know? But I was thinking strip club.
All right.
So they kind of assert their sort of their power, or they feel empowered by stripping.
Stripping in order to empower themselves.
Yeah, yeah, and make people get maximum hardness too. I think, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was kind of right, actually.
All right, let's do one more. Maybe we can do more on the after hours section.
By the way, Red was a film, and it wasn't the one you were saying, but there was a film called Red in 2010.
Oh,
about okay. Bruce Willis. It's a horrible movie.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. The Red I was talking about is from 94, I think.
Yeah, okay, I've seen that one. That was a great movie.
This Red doesn't count just because it's an Indian. Not that it doesn't count as a film.
It's not an American release.
Right. I'm kind of thinking American releases here. But that is a action thriller. So check it out. check out Red.
Look, if you want to not do another one, I have a question for Tyler.
I want to do one more because it's kind of fun. Because Brent, I think you should look one up for me because I want to play.
Well, you can look yours. Okay, what do I have to look up? I have to look up movies that just came out.
New releases. I feel like
We'll do one more. I got one. Okay, you ready?
All right.
Okay, this just came up here. I don't know what this is here. Let me see what this is here. The title sounds kind of interesting here. And by the way, was there another title for Strip Down, Rise Up that we wanted to give it?
Oh.
I think we call it Boner Queens. I mean, you're definitely going to want to watch that.
I mean, again, a title that really grabs your attention, as crass as it may be for the subject matter, if they called it Boner Queens, you know?
This, I think, is a foreign film. The one I wanted to do, it sounded interesting, but...
It could be foreign, whatever. What's
okay,
it about? What's it
called? Okay, this is what it is. I don't know. I guess it came out... It actually came out... It says 2020, so I don't know. I just typed in new release movies. It was the second thing that came up. The Man Who Sold His Skin.
Ooh.
Well, that's a good one.
Okay, this movie. Okay.
You know, you want to give me the rating and, you know, rating and genre and synopsis or whatever.
A failed salesman has no luck in the sales game. He can't do it. He's tried multiple products. He works for this big corporate company. It's sucking the soul out of him. He's tried multiple products, and somehow I'm still working on the kinks here, but somehow he figures out, you know, how to sell his skin, and it not only fulfills everything that's going against him in the corporate world, but it truly brings him to life for the first time in his life.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
When he cuts off his skin to sell it, he can't just have an open wound there. So he replaces it with maybe what he was trying to sell. Maybe he was trying to sell like computer parts or something.
Oh, that's twisted.
So then he slowly like sells his skin away and replaces it with like computer parts. And then he turns into like this indestructible android. And then he takes ultimate revenge and all these jerks on the corporate world that he's been in the rat race in for the last 20 years.
That's dope. That's a good one.
Okay. Right, and then any other ideas?
But okay, well, my other synopsis was this one is way better, but not this. The one we just said is pretty cool. Like that, I could see that as a film.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Cronenberg. That sounds like a Cronenberg kind of thing.
But mm-hmm. The man who sold his skin would be this guy's got a foreskin, right? He's got like the world's longest foreskin. He's kind of like a porn star of foreskin. It's like real long. And there's a man who had been circumcised, a super rich, you know, a prince or something, right? And he wants to get the ultimate foreskin. So he like, the guy is going to sell it, but then he backs out at the last second. Then it's this thriller where they're chasing this guy around Europe. They're going to hold him down and chop his foreskin off. So he sold it, but then when he goes to deliver it, it turns into an action film. And he's in Milan, and then he's in Berlin, then he's in Amsterdam, and it's kind of like this Mission Impossible.
Mini Cooper car chase.
Yeah, all these car chases. So he's on the run.
It's like a Bourne movie.
Yeah, you have the ultimate like money and power chasing down this this underdog guy, and he has to fight for his foreskin against these huge powers.
Okay, what's the rating?
X.
And what was Tyler's rating?
I'm going to say his is R. I mean, it's got to be like a Terminator style, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So R and X?
Mm-hmm. Mine's triple X, yeah.
And what was the genre on both these?
I forget what mine was.
Mine's
I forget the synopsis.
Mine's thriller action porn is mine.
And Tyler's is sort of science fiction a little bit.
Black comedy maybe.
But you know, if he gets the ultimate revenge, there's going to be a lot of action thriller kind of stuff to it too.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be at.
That's what's going to sell it.
What's that film festival called?
Fantastic Fest.
It's going to destroy at Fantastic Fest.
It would.
So here's the. It's a drama, and it's not rated. And I'm going to give you two synopses here. One is a Syrian refugee in Lebanon allows his back to become a canvas for a famous tattoo artist. Soon, collectors become interested in this work of art. Okay, that's one. And then IMDb synopsis says, his own body turned into a living work of art and promptly exhibited in a museum. Sam, a Syrian refugee, will soon realize to have sold away more than just his skin.
Wow. That's almost just as wild as what we're saying, a little bit.
So are they hunting him down to get his skin as a work of art that's on his body?
No, it's about he basically allows his back to be used as a canvas for this tattooed artist.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then they start exhibiting his live body in the art exhibition or at the art gallery. They're showing his back. And that's kind of basic. And then it gets interest. People are thinking, oh, this is interesting art, or I want to buy this.
So they buy him?
I don't know. I'm not, yeah, maybe they buy him.
To watch it.
I think ultimately in the end, whoever ends up buying, maybe he gets bought, and then that person achieves maximum hardness, basically.
Okay, so we have to come up with a better title that's going to be instead of the man who sold his skin, sounds kind of drab, you know?
Back for sale.
How about Look back. Who's Back or something?
Oh, that's good.
How about get him to the gallery? Kind of like get him to the Greek? Or
How about the man with the back tattoo, which kind of sounds like one might think, oh, what do they mean, lower back tattoo, or how does that work? And then they'll watch it and they'll think, oh, it's more than it. Okay, yeah.
The man with the back tattoo.
How about this? How about the man with the lower back tattoo and more? Or how about the man with the lower back tattoo, or the man with the lower back tattoo plus?
How about like back tat?
How about tramp stamp and more?
How about ding-a-ling back tat, Black Snake Moan kind of thing, you know? Isn't there a movie called Black Snake Moan?
I think so, yeah.
How about this? How about just tats? How about big tats?
Big old tats.
Big old tatties. That is so stupid. Big old back tatties.
Big old back tatties.
Call the movie Big Old Bat Tatty.
Exactly, yeah.
And it sounds like some silly ass movie. And then you go and it's like this art gallery, you know, tattoo artist, like drama.
I'm telling you, I feel like titles like that would sell more sometimes.
Definitely.
Like, I'd for be sure. More back tatties?
Big old back tatties?
That's what I'm saying. These movie titles, like, you know, you gotta punch them up here.
I got a question for Tyler.
Yeah.
What movies do you like? Who are your influences as a filmmaker?
Man, that's great. I'm all over the place, man. I love everything. I mean, I love some of the legends, you know, like big Scorsese guy, obviously, who's not. I don't know, man. I'm all over the place. Like Tarantino's, I'm a huge Tarantino fan.
He's one of the best.
Yeah, it's a cliche to say, but I'm
it's no. I mean, here's the thing. I used to, you know, not say Tarantino is one of my favorite filmmakers because it sounded like in the 90s, right? It was just every person was saying that Tarantino is the best, and it seemed trendy. But after the fact that he still puts out great movies now, you know, 30 years later or whatever, just proves that he's one of the best.
Yeah,
and man. Has maintained being like he always makes good movies for the most part. You know?
Totally, and I'm all over the place though. Like I even love like Nancy Meyers films. Weirdly, they weirdly give me comfort. Like. Anything with Suburbia.
Who's Nancy Meyers?
Yeah, Nancy Meyers, like you guys are going to laugh at me. It's ridiculous. But she makes like these very specific sort of older woman chick flicks. But like the whole, there's different things about different directors that I love. And if they have a specific voice, it just comforts me. Like her homes, the way she presents food in her movies and the different houses she's in and all that stuff just makes me feel nice inside, you know?
So I don't think that's lame at all. I totally understand that.
Yeah, and like certain Airplane, like I'm always saying her because I've been watching a bunch of her movies. I'm like, she fucking nails it.
All her movies have like a man and a woman, and they're just like
Exactly.
Like all the covers,
yeah, it's like Jack Nicholson and yeah, Meryl
Nicholson,
Streep
and like there's Alec something Baldwin. About
they're kind of airplane movies, but you know, I'm all over the place. I love stuff like that too. Like,
well, I mean, your movie, okay, Butt Boy, and then also even some of the videos, the internet videos. It feels like there's something about trope kind of recreation or whatever, some kind of simulating, like trope simulation, right?
Right.
Or something like that, right? In that sense, like, what are you... So, like, I guess...
I can get more specific with Butt Boy if you want to hear about that, because there was a lot of tropes we tried to...
I have a question. Real quick, when you said Scorsese, when we were watching Butt Boy... We're thinking Tyler Rice is the detective, right?
Yeah.
We're thinking, well, I was thinking this guy is really kind of channeling De Niro here.
Totally.
Is that a fair?
Yeah. Like the diner scene, we were trying to do like a weird replica of Heat.
Heat. Right.
Oh, okay. You know, like that was all very intentional. And it's like, you know, like the opening credits with the car and everything, we wanted to feel like a 70s Scorsese movie.
Oh, that was really cool, by the way.
Thank you.
Mounted just like on a GoPro or something?
Dude, that was like, yeah, it's like a little tiny camera. It was, I forget which one, like an Osmo or something. But it kind of had a vibe to it, right? Like the turns turned out kind of cool. Like
it looked kind of trippy or something. There's something.
Yeah, yeah, there was a weird vibe to it
that
we ended up just keeping. But yeah, all that stuff. And then like all the night exterior stuff, like, just old 70s films that are like aren't quite lit properly to today's standards. Like it's a little bit too dark, but it has a grime to it that's cool. Yeah, man, I don't know. I love De Palma too.
Were you inspired by Stranger Things at all?
Maybe musically a little bit. You know,
I did like the music a lot too.
Yeah, thanks, man. I did the music too with the guy I wrote it with.
Oh, nice. That's
so we wrote the score as we did the wrote the screenplay.
How do you make music? Like,
we did all of that in Logic, just with different synths. That's all we did. Just because it was the easiest to do. But on this new one, we're doing more analog stuff, which is cool. And yeah, it was cool to write the music with it because then you can come up with like more visual sequences that music can just carry where you don't have to have any dialogue and things like that. So,
for sure. When I said Stranger Things, I was thinking, I don't want to, again, spoil it, but there's a part where they're in, I'll say this, you guys will know what I'm talking about, where they're inside something.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. That was very, that's what I told the guys who did that little effect thing. That was, yeah, I was like, let's just do that, because I was kind of freaking out about that whole part of the movie. I was like, is this gonna fucking work at all? Like,
well,
you just gotta go to that.
To me, it's at a certain,
I just like that you went to like that extreme, and
to me it's just at this point
just let it ride.
At a certain point in the movie, it's anything anyone might get caught up on as far as, I don't know, logistical things or story and stuff, I think it's sort of, I think the idea is that anything goes, because, well, it seems like that's the idea, is that it just doesn't, none of that matters. You know what I mean? Any kind of,
right.
Nothing. I feel like even structure, and at a certain point, structure and just, yeah, you know, logistics sort of don't matter at a certain point. It's not even about that. It seems like it's about just a ridiculous thing played really straight, you know?
Right. Totally. Yeah. I mean, it was very scary to do that, because I was like, this is just so fucking nuts, man. This is so crazy when we were shooting it. And
well, yeah, I mean, that's why I have some questions. I'll save it for After Dark so that we can just say some spoiler stuff maybe might be in After Dark a little bit. You
know? I kind of want to let it all hang out because I have some questions about, yeah, I do. I want to.
You guys can spoil whatever you, I mean, it's been,
no,
out for a bit,
I don't want to spoil it. You don't care. I don't want to spoil it for people.
Well, no, gotcha. Well, we'll spoil it in the After Dark.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But we've gone about an hour. Maybe we should wrap it up here. Butt Boy is available on Amazon.
Yeah. Amazon Prime. And, it's all over the place, but Amazon Prime's the main hub for it.
Everyone has that. Everyone can find it.
Yeah, Butt Boy, easy to find.
Can't miss it.
And
I would recommend it. It just, you know, it's a fun ride. It's a fun movie. It's just fun. So
it's a fun movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys.
Anything else you want to plug before we wrap up the main show here?
I mean, we just got look out for this new movie we have coming out. Just follow us on the Tiny Cinema Instagram. We'll post about it, but it's going to be out this year too. So,
all right, cool. Tiny Cinema. We would like to thank our sponsor real quick, LouisvilleVeganFoods.com. And
we'd also check, like to
if you want to continue listening, just go to our Patreon, patreon.com/poundcast. And you can check out this bonus episode, After Dark, with Tyler Cornack. And you can listen to all the extra episodes immediately, right now.
And thank you to Chloe Bonilla, Jack Birch, and Jackie Montana for their help with
our podcast. That's the Poundcast
team.
All right.
It's the Poundcast street team.
It's the street team. All right. See you next week. Peace. Can you do cha da 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 da